Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Still got a lot more. It's in the New Testament. It's a Pauline epistle. You got to go past the Gospels, and then you'll find it. But everybody has the Bible on their phone now, so you should just be able to look for Galatians and just tap it, and it should be right there. You got it? All right, if you got it, say, I got it. Okay, we good. Galatians 6, 1 through 3. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. I'm reading again. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Look at the next verse. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. The third verse. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Go back to verse one more time. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I want to talk to you tonight for about 45 minutes about the topic called the courage of restoration. The courage of restoration. Father, we thank you for the word. Bless the hearer. May it penetrate their spirit, their soul. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about the courage of restoration. This particular letter of Galatians, we know Paul is writing to Galatians. And this is a Roman province. He's been there several times. And as he writes this letter, there's an issue there. There's been some people that have shown up on the scene that are challenging Paul's apostolic place. They are saying that he's not real. They're talking about his status. And they're also saying that all of the Gentiles need to do what the Jews are doing. The Jews had the sign of the covenant, which was circumcision. And so we know that circumcision is not the covenant, that circumcision is the sign of the covenant. And so they took the sign and edified the sign over the actual covenant itself. And so they're wrestling, saying, okay, you Gentiles, you need to get circumcised. Paul is saying, look, quit worrying about circumcision, because I taught you about the Messiah. I'm teaching you something new. Now, I'm not telling you that what you learned was old, or what you learned in the past is wrong, but I'm telling you that who's coming is fulfilling that, has fulfilled that. And he said, in this Messiah, you have to come to him through faith, by faith. We know faith come by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? Word of God. So he's saying that if you're going to stick with what I'm telling you, quit listening to this other gospel. This other gospel, he says, is not even a real gospel in the first place. So he says, you've got to make sure you're guarding your ears, because what you're hearing is heresy. He said, so stop listening to them. I get it. The brothers that are preaching, they got the sign. But you got him. Yeah. He said, you got him. And so he gets deeper into the teachings, and he's going back and forth with faith and righteousness, talking about faith and righteousness versus the circumcision. And they're battling back and forth. And so as he begins to talk, he goes further into the text, and he begins to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And he starts talking about the works of the flesh. As he begins to deal with both of these, now this is something I really want you to look at. Because if we're going to have courage for restoration, you got to make sure that your living is not just this way. One of the problems with believers is that you got your walk with God and that's it. Your life with God was never designed for you to just be this way. You don't even know where you're going. Now stay with me. If you were put in, I think it's Galatians chapter 5. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, I think they got it. I think it's verses 19 through verses maybe 23 or 24. Let's put those up there. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Look at this. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. Keep going. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now just go backwards. Go backwards before we go to verse 22. Go back to verse 19. Idolatry. All right? Now the works of the flesh are, who do you commit adultery with? Jesus or people? Who do you fornicate with? Jesus, people. Are you unclean with Jesus or unclean with people? Lasciviousness with people. I think one of the major problems, we always talk about this life that we live, but this life that we live is not just a vertical life. Now go to the next verses so I can keep going what I'm talking about. Verse 22. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Next scripture. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. So 22 and 23, why is God giving you this? Is he giving you this for you to live for him only? He don't need your temperance. He doesn't need your meekness. Who does? The people do. So this mysterious walk that we have that is only with God, and your walk never affects people, that is a downright lie. And we've got to dismantle that right out of the gates, because some of you living for God, but your living for God don't never affect anybody else in your life. And that is a lie. Whether you're testifying verbally, how you live testifies about your walk with Jesus Christ. So no, God doesn't need your joy. No, God doesn't need your peace, but your neighbor does. Your neighbor needs the love of God. And the fornication and the adultery, God don't need that, and it ain't even for the devil, it's for you. And it's shared with other people. So if we look at this, this is the problem. Because if we're gonna have real courage, if we're gonna have courage to restore, then you have got to come to grips with sin. And if you're going to come to grips with sin, you can act like you ain't never done it. I know y'all don't like me tonight, do you? You can't act like the last time you sinned was in 1963. You can't act like the last time you sinned was the night you got saved. Oh, y'all ain't gonna be with me tonight. Come on in here. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You can't act like, Lord, the bishop going to just call me now. You can't act like you haven't sinned since you told God yes. We don't have courage to restore other people because we don't want to be seen with the people, because all of the come out from amongst them, be ye separate, said the Lord, out of context. If God gave you the Holy Ghost to be a witness, who are you witnessing to? Can y'all talk to me tonight? Listen to him. He said, I'm giving you the Holy Ghost that you, so you can have power to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. He says, I'm giving you power not to just dance, that's good, I love it. Not to just shout, it's good, I love it. Not to just speak in tongues, it's good, I love it. But I'm giving you this to go into the hedges and the highways and compel women and men to come. I am upset right now because I'm thinking about all of the people that we have left in the hedges. All of the people that we have left in the highways. See, the hedges and the highways is not the church. The hedges and the highways is not the conference. The hedges and the highways is not Woman Thou Art Loose. It's not the Church of God in Christ 95th Holy Convocation. It's not the Baptist Convention. The hedges and the highways is right outside your house. But we do church, but we don't do people. We do church. But when the person has turned into a drunk and you got to go get them, now you have to think, if I go in there, they're going to be recording me on social media. If I go there, what are they going to say about me? When it has nothing to do with you, it's all about you restoring them. And then the Spirit of the Lord dropped on me and said, who going? Who am I going to send if the ones I gave the power to be the witness to won't go? Oh, y'all here with me? So Paul's writing this letter, and Paul says, if a brethren, now this changes the whole narrative. This ain't somebody in the world. This is one of us. If one of us is overtaken by a fault. Now, I just need about 5 minutes for some people that have been overtaken to lift their hands. Look at the room. Look at the room. Look at the room. Everybody almost in this room has had their hand up because they've been overtaken by a fault. If that is the case, why are we losing our memory? Why are we having amnesia when it comes to going to finding our brothers and sisters who have been overtaken by a fault? You shouldn't be worried about your reputation. But we are, 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 but we are. He says, if one of us is overtaken by a fault, ye which are churchy, ye which are a member of the church, ye which are on the deacon board, ye which are a musician, ye who's on every board, any board that you can think of, he ain't talking about that. He say, ye that are spiritual. So then restoration, write it down, is a job for the spiritual. You won't restore me because you don't respect me. And it's difficult to restore what you don't respect. But the only reason you don't respect me because you had amnesia that you were once
me. Come on.
I want you to touch somebody and say, I'm a restorer, 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 restorer. So the first thing you got to do is assess the situation. Now, when you assess the situation, you're not assessing the sin. Write it down. Assess the situation. When you're assessing the situation, you're not assessing the sin. Part of the problem of us in church, we assess the sin before we get into the situation. And let me tell you something. The reason is not a prerequisite for restoration. You don't choose to restore me because you respect or disrespect how I got into what I got into. That's one of the problems with us right now. You want to assess me, but you don't want to assess the fact that I'm in it and I need help to get out of it. I know you don't like what I'm in. The truth is, I don't like what I'm in, but I need help to get out of what I'm in. And if you don't help me, who in the world is going to come get me? Oh, I wish I had a church in here tonight. Somebody look at somebody and tell them, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Y'all ain't saying it like you're sanctified. Tell somebody, I'm on my way. I'm not looking at what you did. I'm not staring at what you got into. I don't care what you got on. I don't care how long you've been there. But I'm coming to tell you I've been there myself and I'm on my way. Tell somebody I'm on my way. I didn't want this microphone. They told me to pick it up. This is a preaching microphone. So when we talk about assessing the situation, we want to make sure in your notes that we assess the situation and not the sin. So write that down, all right? And when you look at that, you're looking into the nature of the situation. Why? Because the truth is, you need to figure out what you are getting yourself into. What am I getting myself into? What am I getting myself into? That's intelligent. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to get into it. I'm going to create a strategy to get into it because I don't want to see you die in what you're in. Now, the problem that I look at when I look at the text, and I've heard it preached for years, is that we give more credence to the sin than we do the restorer. We preach on the sin, we harp on the sin, but we don't harp on the restoration. It is our job to win our brothers back. It is our job to win our sisters back. It is not our job to tweet about them and to Facebook about them and to Instagram about them because they've been overtaken. If you've really been overtaken, then you understand that you've been in one of the weakest places of your life. And when you're at one of the weakest places of your life, you don't need your business put all over social media, all over the news. What I need is for you to come in here and get me. I wish I had a witness in here. Somebody say, I need help. Help. So reason is not a prerequisite for restoration. And when we continue to look at that, we have to then say, is sin normal? Yes. All have sinned and fallen short of. So if that's true, sin is normal. I'm gonna say it again. Sin is normal. Now, did you hear me say before they posted that sin is right? No, I didn't say that. I did not say sin is right. I did not say God said you can sin. I did not say that. I said sin is what? But here's the issue with it. It's so normal that you forget that it pays. The wages of sin is death. Okay? The wages of sin is death. And the crazy thing about sin, it pays off at a time you didn't want it to pay off. And when it pays off, you're already dead. You don't get to enjoy it. And it has two different types of death. One death, of course, is physical death. The other death is you're alive and you're ineffective. Everything you do has no impact. You're dead. You're dead to him. You have no impact, no influence, because sin has canceled your impact.
but it's normal. So sin is normal, and that's what makes it easy. And so if one of your brethren become overtaken, he's become overtaken by something that's normal. I'm trying to put it in a way to help you understand that you should never turn your nose up against someone who has been overtaken, because what they were overtaken by was something that was normal. And we forget that it's normal. So we turn our nose up to our brethren that have, quote unquote, fallen from grace. How do you fall from grace? If grace follows me every day. Now, what I realize is I didn't fall from grace. I fell from yours. Oh, y'all ain't said nothing here tonight. I didn't fall from grace. Let me tell you something. You can't out-sin God's grace. That's not a license to sin. But God is a forgiving God. And we have created this God that's always angry with you when you make a mistake. Oh, let me get back to the text. Brethren, ye that are... See, that's the ones I'm talking to. Because those that are not spiritual do not agree with what I'm saying. Those that are not spiritual have categorized sins and said, if you do this, I'll forgive you. If you do this, there's no way in the world. If you do this, it's out of the question. But if ye that are spiritual should restore. So we have a restoration problem. And I want you to ask somebody before we get out here real quickly, who's the last person you restored? Who did you go get? Because we are good at leaving people and great at leaving the people that we left alone. But I didn't come in here to beat you. I came in here to show you that you have a responsibility as a sister and a brother to go and restore your brother and sister. The one that you have turned your nose up and said, I'm not going back in there. And I know why. You're not mad. You just don't want to be seen with them anymore because of what they did. If you don't go, who's going? Now, the interesting thing about it is that when Jesus comes to the earth, Jesus is the epitome of the courage of restoration. Jesus leaves the celestial, comes into the terrestrial. And the strategy by way of bringing him into the earth is already dirty. Mary doesn't get saved and then Jesus comes in. She hasn't been restored. She hasn't been redeemed, but Jesus comes anyway and gets inside of the dirt. Are you hearing me? He's the epitome of restoration. The Bible tells us clearly, he who knew no sin became sin, that we may become what? The righteousness of God. So Jesus has not even died. But he decides to come inside. His strategy is to get inside the dirt and then grow in the dirt. I wish I had a witness in here. He's growing in what he has not even redeemed yet. And you got a problem walking into the club. Jesus grew in one. You got a problem walking in somebody's room that's on drugs, and Jesus grew in one. Jesus says, I'm going to get inside and grow and be birthed from it. Are y'all with me? So Jesus, his strategy is through dirt. He assesses the situation. He sends himself. He gets inside the dirt. He grows. Now here's what's interesting to me. He could have died at one day old and it'd been over. He could have died at 10 and it would be over. He could have died at 12 And it would have been enough. He's the Savior. He hadn't sinned. He who knew no sin became sin. He could have died at 18. He could have died at 20. He could have died at 25. He could have died at 30. But he waited 33 years to walk with people who had not been redeemed. God, wish I had a witness in here. He's teaching us that if you're going to restore people, you got to get up next to them and you got to learn how they walk. You got to learn how they talk. You got to find out what they're addicted to. And you got to learn how to come to them in the spirit of meekness so you can draw them with love and kindness instead of driving them with your Holy Ghost bold words that's killing people's drive and don't want to come back to church because you're too harsh. Look at somebody and tell them you're too harsh. You gotta have the spirit of meekness. You gotta learn how to walk up to somebody and tell them I love you in your trash, in your dirt, in your circumstance. I don't even see your trash because I see you. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Lean on somebody that's got some power. And you know they got power if they standing up, if they shaking their head, if they sitting down, at least nodding their head. Lean over and tell them, I got power. I got power to stick it in with you. I'll stay here with you while you struggle. I'll stay here with you while you're trying to figure it out. You don't have to be perfect for me to be here. You can struggle and I'm going to stay here because I'm assigned to restore you. Somebody shout, I am a restorer. Glory to God. Be seated. So missing the mark is normal. It doesn't mean it's right, but it's normal. But here's the issue. I want you to think about this. Everybody's dance with sin is different. Because we're not all lusting after the same thing. All right, now if you look at James 1, 14, 15, go to it, check it out. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away. And what? Enticed. What's the next verse? But then what? When lust has conceived, it bringeth forth. And sin, when it is, see, sin will be finished with you and you don't even know it. Glory to God. Y'all ain't said nothing in here. Sin will walk out on you. You don't even know it. It will have destroyed your reputation and destroyed your life and left you. And bring forth what? Death. Now go back to verse 14. But every man is tempted. Every single man. Now the temptation isn't the sin, but this is what I was looking at. When he is drawn away, say it. So in other words, my. So that means you got some lust in you. Oh, I ain't got no lust, the devil is alive. No. No. Look at what it said. He said, the problem isn't the lust. It's when you've been drawn away. I wish I had a witness here. Y'all don't want to be truthful. You don't want to be true. It's not the lust. It's when you've been drawn by it. I wish I had a witness here. You've been drawn away, drawn away. Drawn away simply means it exists and you have been over. And it is normal to be. I'm just trying to make it basic so we'll stop making people feel like when they sin, they're the worst people in the earth. Are y'all still here with me? So, the Bible tells us that his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. So that means mercy follows you every day. Mercy's walking with you now. Mercy didn't drop you off at church. Mercy came been here with you. Mercy was with you when you messed up. Mercy was with you when you got out of it. Mercy was with you when you put the bottle down. Mercy was with you while you was drinking it. Mercy was with you when you were in the club. Mercy was with you when you were fornicating. Mercy was with you when you was committing adultery. Mercy was with you when you was doing everything you didn't have no business being doing in the player's place. Mercy was right there with you. And when you left and took off them clothes and took a shower, mercy was showering right there with you. When you put on your pajamas and went to sleep and said, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Mercy was right there praying with you. And when you woke up this morning and forgot what you prayed, mercy was right there with you. When you put on your church clothes and came to service, mercy came with you. Somebody shout hallelujah for mercy. Let's talk about this social, spiritual intersection. Say that with me. Social, spiritual intersection. Social means communal, recreational. Okay? Spirit is what God gave us. He blew it into us. We became a spirit being. If we're going to live for God, it is not just north and south. We don't just live up, we live out. And if that is the case, then your spiritual life, you have a responsibility to socialize in the kingdom. It is your ability to socialize that what makes you effective. The love and the kindness allows you to draw people into your life. A non-judgmental spirit that allows you to pull people into your life. There has to be a social, spiritual intersection. So Paul is saying, ye which are spiritual, go and restore such a one. The social activity of your life should be backed up by the spiritual power that you got from God. So when I walk into a place that you wouldn't normally see me, I really can give a care what you think about me, because I got something in me that helps me to understand. I know y'all thought I was going to say something else. That helps me to understand. Some of y'all nodding your head. Helps me to understand that I have a responsibility socially. I have a social responsibility. I put a graph up there I had my admin make. Can you put it up there for me? It's got restoration in the middle. If restoration is in the middle, choice is on the left, support is on the right, the master restorer is on the bottom. The Bible says, choose ye. You got to choose. You got to choose. He said, I put before you life and death. Then he tells you to what? Choose life. So the restorer has to make a choice to restore you, and then the one being restored has to make a choice if they're going to come out from where they are. And then the support on the outside, if the church is going to be what it's really supposed to be. And when I'm talking about church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about its people. You can't be afraid to be seen with people who were not in the place where they were supposed to be. If they don't have your support, we don't get to restoration. Now, if you look at the master restorer, I struggled with this because I didn't know if I was going to put the restorer on the bottom or the restorer on the top. The restorer on the top makes common sense because he's the head, not the tail. You know, he's the king. But then I thought about it. If I make the restorer the root, yeah. If the master restorer becomes my foundation, if the master restorer is what I'm standing on, then when I grow up out of what I came in, glory to God, then I'll understand what it means to be the head. I wish I had a witness here, because God wants you to grow up out of what you came in. And if you grow up out of what you came in, you'll always go back where you came from and tell people, I came out of this.
Wish I had a witness here. And some of you, God brought you out and you lost your testimony because you wasn't right. Well, glory to God. You ought to have a testimony telling people, I used to drink. I used to smoke. I used to go to the club. I had a problem. I was a gambler, but God grew me up out of that situation. Oh, I wish I had at least 50 people in here that would get on your feet and give God glory because you had a restorer that came looking for you and snatched you out of your circumstance.
Oh, my God, look at two or three people and tell them I've been restored. Tell them. Have you been restored in here tonight?
Well, if you've been restored, then look at somebody else and tell them, since I've been restored, I've been assigned to help pull you out. And tell them, you're not leaving here tonight until I pull you out of here. So tell them, whatever you've been in, God assigned me here tonight to yank you out of your trouble, to yank you out of your trial, to yank you out of your circumstance, to yank you out of whatever's been holding you. Look at your neighbor and tell them you coming out, and tell them you're coming out right now. If you're not afraid, grab that neighbor and start yanking them. Yank them out of problems. Yank them out of debt. Yank them out of a circumstance and let them know. Organ in the house so I can hear it. Tell that neighbor, I'm pulling you out. I've been anointed to yank you out tonight. And tell them, it doesn't matter how you feel, God anointed me tonight to pull you out. Now pull them right now and tell them, whatever you've been going through, see yourself out. Step on out. Cry when you come out. Scream when you come out. Tell somebody. Tell them I am a restorer. Tell them I got courage to pull you out tonight. And I don't know how you feel, but I feel anointed right now. Have I got a witness here?
I ain't supposed to be here yet. Be seated. Give me 10 minutes, I'm through. Tell somebody, meet me at the intersection. Tell somebody, meet me right there. Tell them, it don't matter what you're in, I'm coming in the name of Jesus. And when I come, I'm coming with power. Yeah, yeah. Somebody holler in this church tonight. Let hell know we are on our way to get our brethren back, to get our sisters back. Satan, you can't have them. They belong to God. Be seated. Oh, my God. Well, if you feel the spirit of restoration, you might as well give him glory. Because somebody met you on the intersection. They came to get you tonight. I don't care what it is. God sent somebody to tell you I'm on my way to come see about you. Glory to God. Stop. I want to close it, but listen. Be seated. Just give me 10 minutes. So we got this intersection of, social, spiritual intersection. Because I got to bring my anointing to get you. And in order for me to do that, write this down. You've got to get acquainted with your self-sufficiency. Okay? Self-sufficient maturity. The way I intersect, the power of my intersection, the presentation, the power of me actually getting there is because I'm self-sufficient in my maturity, which means simply that I am aware of self. I'm aware of what I did in the past. So if you bring it up, I already know it, so it's not a surprise to me. Are y'all hearing me? So I become so self-aware that I'm sufficient that I don't need your praise to make me be who I am. So soon as you start booing me, my chest gets bigger because why in the world would you be booing me for restoring somebody else? That tells me that you're not spiritual, and it tells me that you're very carnal. So this is how you're able to determine between your friends that are spiritual and are carnal, because carnal people will not restore people. Carnal people will try to talk you out of going into places. But when you got a friend that's spiritual, they'll call you and say, let's go together. Because they got enough sense to say, I don't want you going by yourself. They'll tell you that two is greater than one. They'll tell you one can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. I wish I had a witness in here. They'll tell you, let's go together, because a threefold cord is not easily broken. So you and me and the Holy Ghost is going up in there to get my sister, to get my brother, to get my cousin, to get whoever it is. Tell somebody, let's go together, let's go together, let's go together. Oh, that ain't the right neighbor. Tell somebody else, tell them, we going together. Be seated. Give me just a few seconds. In philosophy of self, self-awareness is the experience of one's own personality or individuality. It is not to be confused with consciousness. While consciousness is being aware of one's environment and body and lifestyle, self-awareness is the recognition of that awareness. So I am aware of my behavior. I'm aware of my flaws. I'm aware of my characteristics. Self-awareness is how an individual consciously knows and understands their own character, their own feelings, and their own motives, and their own desires. It takes a mature person to be a restorer. Don't expect immature people to restore you. And don't expect immature people to be on a mission of restoration. And when you look at it, Jesus, when Peter cut off that man's ear, what did Jesus do? He restored it. Why? Because Jesus is what? Mature. Mature people restore people. Jesus could have said, leave the ear off, because let me tell you something, he came after me and you're supposed to cut him. But that's not what he did. Jesus said, pick the ear up. And then I heard Bishop Noel Jones said, it was good that the ear was restored because faith come by. So Jesus is mature because Jesus knows he gonna need to hear a word after a while. I wish I had a witness here. This is why you can't wish ill will upon people, because they gonna need a word after a while. Tell somebody, I could have whipped you, I could have shot you, but you gonna need a word after a while. Wow. when they spat on Jesus. Because if you had spit on me, I probably would have spit back on you. But Jesus was too mature for that. And what I realized, Pastor, if I'm not in the Word, I won't mature. And part of our problem is we come to church and we hear our pastor, but we never get in the Word. That's the only word we read and the only word we hear, Sunday from Sunday or Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday. So how do you expect to mature in your character? How do you expect to mature in your feelings? How do you expect to mature in your desires? How do you expect to mature in your behavior if you're not reading the maturation handbook? Are y'all still here with me? So your self-awareness is critical. You've got to know yourself. The last thing we want to talk about and we're gone is the spirit of meekness. When you restore a person, you can't restore them with that old school, sit yourself down somewhere. And when I come and get you, just the last time I'm coming to get you. Well, I ain't calling you. How many times am I going to have to tell you to quit going down there? Well, if I had the power to not go down there, I wouldn't go. But something in me, like old Pookie said, it'd be calling me. It'd be calling me. It'd be calling me. And I'd be getting up and going. It'd be calling me. And if you were spiritual, you would know that that person is wrestling with an addiction. But because you're carnal, you're not sensitive to the spirit that's controlling the person that has been overthrown. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Somebody shout hallelujah. So when we look at meekness, we have to empty the container. We have to pour it out. We have to completely pour it out because meekness in our context is weakness. It's spineless. It's unassertive. And it is a powerful term, but to those of us that have stature and those of us, the strength means something. And it's almost like a stamp. And I'm going to be honest with you, it is for me. I want to look strong. I don't want to look weak. And I take a lot of pride in looking strong. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be weak emotionally. I don't want to be weak spiritually. But that's not what this means at all. Because I'm going to tell you somebody in the Bible that is described as meek. Numbers 12, verse 3. I don't know if you guys have it. I don't think I gave it to you, but I'll read it to you. Numbers 12, verse 3 in the King James Version says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Now, if Moses was meek, then you shouldn't have a problem being what? Meek. Because Moses went and restored an entire nation. Moses walked into Pharaoh's camp with a stick and said, "Let my people go." He went in the spirit of meekness, because when you go in the spirit of meekness, you leave the spirit of man behind. And when you leave the spirit of man behind, the spirit of God does all the working for you. Wish I had a witness in here. I want you to lean over and tell somebody, "I got God working for me. That's why I'm meek. I'm not weak. I've got God working for me. And if I call down fire, you better believe it. God's going to send it on down." Moses is the epitome of weakness. Meekness removes the eye from the center of your heart. And it puts God and others at the center. Meekness prioritizes concern for others over yourself. So when you go in meekness, you're not going in you. When you go in meekness, you have a mission on your mind. And as I close, I got to thinking about the closest thing to this text. And I start thinking about that lady, Angela Gomez, in that shooting in San Antonio. The police was outside trying to figure out how to get in and what they were going to do. I got no shade against the police. I'm not here to talk about them. I'm here to talk about the courageous restorer. As she sat outside, she said, "My babies are in there." When she started running towards the door, the police cuffed her. Said, "Get in this car. You got to be still." And that woman said, "You more worried about me than you worried about them kids that's in that school." Policeman said, "If I let you go, will you get somewhere and sit down?" She said, "Yeah." When they uncuffed her, she took off running. She says she ran to the door. Glory. You want to talk about a courageous restorer? She said, "I went down the aisle." She said, "I heard gunshots firing. What I realized then is that when you are a real restorer, if shots are being fired, you'll go anyway." Lean over and tell somebody, "I hear shots fired, but I got enough courage to go in anyway, because there's somebody on the inside that I love, and I got too much courage to stay outside." So she said she ran down the hall, and she kept hearing the gunshot, and she got to her first son's room. The teacher didn't want to let her in, but she kept on knocking. Lean over and tell somebody, if you got real courage, keep on knocking. Kick your way in. Charge your way in. Run your way in. It doesn't matter. Just find the courage and go in anyway. She said she got in and got the first child. Y'all get with me and come on. She went in and got the first child. And she grabbed the first child. And the scripture said, ain't no scripture, but it was her. She said, "I came out the hallway and I walked down the hall." She said, "And I noticed that the gunshots were not by me." She said, "They was a little further on down the hall." And she took her courageous self and went to the next room and got the other child. Have I got a witness here? We need somebody that's got enough courage to go get your mother, to go get your brother, to go get your sister, to go get your nephew, to go get your cousin. It don't matter how bad it is. Go get them. Pull them out. Go get them. Pull them out. Go get them. Pull them out. Tell them, "I ain't leaving you. I'm not leaving you. I got too much courage to leave you here." Say yeah. Say yeah. I want you for the next 60 seconds, grab somebody and take off. Tell them, "I'm pulling you out." Pull them out. Pull them out. Pull them out. Pull them out. Grab somebody and pull them out. This is an example of what it looks like. I'm pulling you out. I'm pulling you out. I'm pulling you out. Out of your dirt. Out of your trouble. Out of your trial. Out of your
circumstance. Pull them out. 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 Your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, I told God to send me, and I told the Lord, tell him I'll go. I'll go wherever you tell me. I'll do whatever you tell me. I got the courage to walk wherever you tell me.
I'm gonna count to three. I'm gonna count to three, and I want you to hit this altar. I count to three, I want you to hit this altar. I'm gonna pray for your courage that you go in and you become restorers. One, two, three. Come, 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 come. Come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I want you to hit this altar and have your hands lifted. Make your way in. If we need to move, then out the way.